Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
As a proud Catholic, I've never really cared much for atheists. If you're turning your back on God's Christian teachings, then at least have the courage to call yourself a Lutheran.
While individuals have their own religious beliefs and consciences, businesses that employ thousands of hardworking Americans do not.
Hobby Lobby is a family-owned business that doesn't want Washington to be their boss. They believe that abortion takes the life of a child and that every child deserves a chance at life. What's wrong with that?
This fuzzy postmodern sentiment, you know, that intentions matter more than outcomes.
Chaplain deployed to Washington, D.C. absolutely loves Issues Etc.
Well, it was only, what, 3-4 hours after the closing of the arguments that I was reading online yesterday an article that was beginning the spin that the white male majority on the Supreme Court is going to impose their will on the women of America. It seems like they've already made up their minds even before they heard the oral arguments, and Hobby Lobby's going to win this one, and women will be robbed of some fundamental right with regard to their reproductive health. That's how it's being spun. Of course, the decision hasn't even been made. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Adele Keim joins us, legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. Here in the first few minutes of the program, we're going to be talking with her about yesterday's oral arguments before the Supreme Court in the case of Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby. Joe Dallas will be our guest. We'll spend some time talking with him about the Evangelical Charities decision, an Evangelical Charities decision to hire gay married Christians, and then we will review the best-selling book, Killing Jesus by Bill O'Reilly. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. Join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Adele Keim is legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. Adele, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
How do you respond to some of the spin that I've seen from the left, which is white male Supreme Court majority imposing their will on the women of America?
You know what? That spin really makes me laugh. I heard Planned Parenthood's president make that kind of remark at the scrum after the argument, and I just shook my head. I was in the courtroom, and I don't know what she's talking about. The two family-owned businesses in this case are half-owned by women. Barbara Green founded Hobby Lobby with her husband, David Green, in their garage. And she's the one who stepped up to the microphone yesterday, and she explained to America the way that the contraceptive mandate imposes a burden on her religious beliefs and on the religious beliefs of her daughter and on the religious beliefs, frankly, of millions of other American women who say, fine, contraceptives, buy them if you want to, but if your contraceptives cause abortions, don't make me pay for them. So this is not an issue of men versus women. This is an issue of conscience. And you know what? When we were in the courtroom yesterday, it's clear that that's the way the justices understood it as well. There was no talk about fundamental equality between men and women. That just wasn't an issue. The only time women's rights came up, it's in the small r rights of the right that was created 2 years ago by Congress in the ACA to get some of these contraceptives for free. That's the only time women's rights came up. The rest of the focus was on religious liberty, the rights of conscience, whether pro-life doctors have the ability to say, no, I'm not going to perform an abortion, or whether the government can steamroll their conscience rights and make them do so if it wants to. That's what was at issue yesterday.
With regard to that issue, as it is going to be applied by this court to businesses, to corporations, does the court have any legal precedent to draw upon?
The court has decades of precedent to draw on. First of all, under the Constitution, the default rule is that all of our constitutional rights apply equally to natural people like you and me and also corporations. That's always been the default law, default rule in American law. The only exception are certain rights that they call purely personal. But we know that religious exercise isn't one of those rights, because some of our most famous free exercise cases, First Amendment cases, involve incorporated churches. I know a lot of your listeners are Lutheran. Just last year, in 2012, the Supreme Court, in a 9-0 decision, vindicated the rights of Hosanna Tabor Lutheran Church and School, Incorporated. That was a corporation, and the Supreme Court said it's also a church, and it has religious freedom. It can exercise religion. So there's nothing about being incorporated that automatically prevents you from exercising religion.
How do you respond to someone who says, you know, businesses cannot have conscience rights?
Well, first I'd say, was CVS acting out of its conscience when it decided that it was inconsistent with its values and it was to sell tobacco? And did Gap act in accordance with its conscience when it raised the minimum wage a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, I mean, businesses make value-based decisions all the time. And, you know, another thing, we know that some businesses take their values from their owners' religious beliefs. Think about a Christian bookstore like Mardell Books that was before the Supreme Court yesterday. Mardell Christian Books. Is there any question that Mardell Christian Books, their management is exercising religion when they decide they're going to stock some Christian books and not others, or they're going to stock Christian books instead of books from another faith? Of course they're exercising their religion. They're making religion-based choices all the time. Think about Chick-fil-A. They close on Sundays. So does Hobby Lobby. They close on Sundays as well. But even just a more basic example, a kosher butcher, when he refuses to slaughter animals except in the way that he believes that the Old Testament law requires him to, isn't he exercising his faith? I think he is. And you know what? Yesterday in the court, it seemed like a majority of the justices were leaning towards agreeing with that point. Even Justice Breyer said, you know, I can see where there are five kosher butchers and they get together and they decide to incorporate. You know, your government's position would say they have no religious freedom, but he seemed doubtful that that really was the case. And I have to agree with him.
One of the, now you were there, so you can speak with a little more experience on this, but one of the reports that I saw yesterday evening was that the government came less than adequately prepared to these oral arguments, in particular to respond to the more pointed questions of the justices. What's your perception there?
Well, I think it was, it seemed to really take the government's lawyer by surprise when Justice Kennedy said, according to your position, could the government order an incorporated for-profit medical practice to perform abortion? And they just, the government's lawyer just didn't seem to really have a good answer. He basically said, well, there are other federal conscience protections that would prevent that right now. And Justice Kennedy said, well, yeah, but what if those laws changed? Could that medical practice come in and bring a claim? And again, he just said, well, federal law doesn't allow that right now. There's no federal law on that. And then came a really pivotal moment. The Chief Justice leaned forward, and he said, what do you mean there's no federal law that requires that? What do you mean? And the government's lawyer said there's no federal law that requires a business to pay for an abortion. And the Chief Justice said, isn't that this case? Isn't that this case? And I think that's exactly what this case is. The government has no limiting principle that wouldn't allow it to impose the same requirement on to cover surgical abortion that it's imposing on the Greens and the Hans, the families in this case, requiring them to cover drugs that they believe cause abortions. There's no limiting principle on the government side.
It sounds to me as though the government side in its arguments or also in its response to the justices' questions, which is what oral arguments are really all about, had a fundamentally different understanding of religious liberty than even most of the justices were operating with.
You know, I think that the justices understand that you can't just look at what the government says today, you have to look at what the government could say tomorrow. And when the government wants to set up a threshold rule that's a barrier to anybody ever coming into court and making a religious liberty claim, if they are an incorporated business, the court quite rightly wants to think long and hard before adopting a rule like that. And, you know, one thing all the justices agreed on, there's never been a case that's taken the position that the government wants the court to take today. The government is asking the court to establish a wall of separation between your business and your constitutional rights. This court has never done that at any time.
Is that why it's safe to refer to this as a landmark case?
It is very safe to refer to this as a landmark case. But, you know, on the other hand, if it weren't for the government's extreme position, this case really wouldn't be a big deal because it's basically about statutory interpretation, how you apply this 20-year-old law, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. This law is not controversial. It was passed by overwhelming bipartisan majority of Congress. It was signed into law by President Clinton. It's been used for 20 years by people all across this country, everybody from Anglicans to Zoroastrians. Anybody, whatever their faith, can bring a claim under this law and say the government's burdening my religion. Now, it doesn't mean that they always win. This law, like the Constitution, is a balancing test. When you make a religious claim or you ask for a religious exemption, the government gets to come back in and say, you know what, we have a compelling interest and no other way to accomplish that interest. I'm sorry, we can't give you an exemption. And a lot of times, the religious claimants lose. I think of the Church of Marijuana cases, the folks that come into court and say, you know, my church requires me to smuggle marijuana for profit. And the judges have no problem saying, we don't think that's a sincere religious claim and the government has compelling interest there and they have to put you in jail. They've got no other way to accomplish them. Those claims lose under this law. So this law is not very controversial, but this law has protected people, Native Americans, Lutherans, Baptists, Jews, agnostics even. People who are bringing faith-based claims has protected them from government overreach and overbearing government. What's surprising about this case is how overbearing the government's be.
If the court decides, as many are anticipating it will in June, in favor of Hobby Lobby and the other parties there, could it have and because it will further bolster the strength of RFRA, the statute you've been talking about here, will it have broader ramifications than just you cannot make a Christian-owned corporation pay for abortifacients? Will it have broader ramifications than that?
You know, if the court looks at the plain text of RFRA and the history of religious business people in this country, and concludes that yes, the Greens and the Hans can bring these claims, I think it'll be a strong reaffirmation of religious liberty. I don't think it'll be a landmark departure. I don't think it's going to open the door to all kinds of crazy claims. I think there's a reason that ExxonMobil has never brought one of these claims, even though they could have tried to do so for 20 years. I think that's because they'd have a big sincerity problem if they did. But that said, the reason that the government is so clearly, I think the reason the government's case is so weak here is because they've exempted people from this contraceptive coverage requirement. They've exempted thousands of large employers across this country from this contraceptive coverage requirement for political reasons, to keep the president's promise that you can keep the health plan you have. That's called the grandfathering exemption. And under our constitutional law, when the government makes an exemption like that for secular reasons, it is really difficult for them to say no to a religious person's claim. And it should be, because our Constitution gives special protection for religious liberty. So I think, you know, I think this case is getting a lot of attention. I think it's good that it gets attention. But I don't think that a ruling for the Greens is really going to change that much in terms of the law for religious liberty. What it's going to do is it's going to be a rebuke to government overreach in this particular situation.
Finally, if you were explaining this to a group of college-age students, answering the question, what's at stake in Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby, the case that the Supreme Court is now considering and will rule upon in a couple months, how would you answer that question?
I would say this case is about whether the government can build a new wall to separate religious people and religious liberty from the businesses that they run, whether the government can establish a wall of separation between faith and business.
Adele, before we let you go, I understand that you have some relatives in the St. Louis area. You want to say hello?
Sure. Dr. Jim and Dr. Barbara Keim, hi from your daughter-in-law.
Adele Keim is legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. You'll find a link to the Beckett Fund under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Adele, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker. He has put together a review of Bill O'Reilly's latest bestseller called Killing Jesus. We'll see how Bill gets the history of the New Testament, of Jesus' life, death. We can't say resurrection because I don't believe he includes that in the book because, well, his excuse is this isn't a theology book, it's just a history book, and so he doesn't include things like that. What's wrong with that way of approaching Jesus' life, even as an historian? Pastor Tom Baker will answer those questions and review Killing Jesus by Bill O'Reilly right after this. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Check out the updated showroom at Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Valo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience, Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or valofloor.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.